Hello, and welcome to the ThoughtWorks Beacon podcast. I'm Johnny Leroy, and I'm here with Chelsea Comlow. And in this episode, we're discussing security, and in particular, how that fits into an agile process and into agile delivery teams.
So it seems like every day we are hearing more and more about security in the headlines. And for good reason. Businesses are the ones to bear the cost if there's a security breach. People are really concerned. And, you know, we see this happen every single day. A business might make the headlines, and they bear the cost not only financially. There's now starting to be regulations around if there's been a data breach, businesses will face fines, but also in the reputation. So, you know, if something were to happen with user data, people will think about this, and it'll be correlated with that company in the future.
The damage to brand reputation is really a big risk.
Oh, yeah. Huge. Yeah, exactly.
And so a year or so ago, in our technology radar, we came up with this phrase of the security sandwich, which we were seeing as a bit of an anti-pattern, or at least a way to describe more traditional security approaches. And we called it the sandwich because the meat of your delivery was in the middle, but then security came on either side, like the two pieces of bread. And there'd be some upfront security planning and documentation, and then some penetration testing and certification at the end. And while that's good and useful and important, most businesses are now moving to much more agile, continuous processes. And so we're really on a mission to work out how to bake security processes into continuous delivery approaches. And that's really what we want to talk about today. And in some ways, there's similar parallels to what we saw in other areas over the last decade or so. For example, moving QA, quality assurance and testing, into delivery approaches. The same with the DevOps movement and continuous delivery, bringing operations concerns into development, into the teams. So we're looking at what's happening in the security space. And there seems to be the beginning of a groundswell in the industry of how to embed security concerns, security ideas and tooling into continuous processes.
Yeah, so we definitely want to sort of mimic the best practices that we've seen in folding this into our everyday practices in the same way that we've seen, like Johnny mentioned. So we have a couple questions. We think that this is a good way to frame where you are with security and really kind of get you in the right frame of mind to think about where you are as a team and how, you know, basically how good of a job are you doing right now? And so one question we have for you is, does your team have an incident response plan? So if something bad were to happen, would your team know what to do? Another question is, how much time would you need to release a fix for a vulnerability in production? So if you found out something happened in production, would you be able to release it immediately? Or, you know, would it take you a month to push this fix? How confident are you that you're releasing secure software? So if something goes out, do you know what you're releasing is actually secure? Or have you even thought about this? And how confident are you that you would be alerted to malicious activity that were to happen in production? So if somebody were to actually penetrate your system, would you even know that perhaps data was missing or somebody was starting to, you know, embed malware? Or, you know, would you know, or would this continue for months, if not years, as it's happened in other cases?
Yeah. So looking at time to discover and time to respond become really important.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think one thing that's important to remember is that you're never going to completely be 100% secure, but you also want to be able to know if something is happening and react. So when we think about security, we think about both hardening our systems and also reacting. So, you know, obviously there's a huge risk to the security sandwich. There's a lot at risk. Basically, the length of time to respond. So, you know, maybe something would happen and it could be months, if not years, until you know. And then you could be completely unaware that bad things are happening. I mean, that's a huge risk. There's also a risk of lack of fine-grained testing and analysis. So if you were to bring in a pen tester at the end of developing a lot of code, you know, they may think that they're doing a good job, but if you're releasing so much, you know, into production, or they're having to cover such a like large swath, you're really not able to understand every nook and cranny of what you're releasing. And then there's also not a shared responsibility. So if there's just one person that's responsible for security, no one else is really thinking about it. So the likelihood that something's going to happen is much greater.
And this is where there's big parallels with the DevOps movement of trying to make those concerns everyone in the team's concerns. Yeah, sure, rely on experts, but try to bring that thinking into the whole team. So there are two differing concerns that are really in tension here. So one is businesses and organizations are trying to ship software fast, try to do that quickly, get code into production so they can make money and so they can also learn about their users and adapt and adjust. So there's a big drive to move quickly. There's also a drive to move securely. And historic approaches are really in conflict. So really what we want to do now is explore what are some of the newer practices and processes for blending security practices with continuous agile delivery approaches.
Yeah, exactly. So that definitely is the end goal, is to, you know, build a product quickly, be able to evolve, be able to put things into production as quickly as possible, but also with confidence that what you're doing is secure. Really what we want is we want to be having conversations and actions around security throughout our entire process, not just at the beginning, at the end, like we're doing a lot currently. So, you know, every project has a kickoff. It sort of differs across every single company. But really, when we kick off a project, what we want to understand is, what is our current state? What are we building? And who potentially is involved? And then what might potential risks be with this project? So some people call it discovery, some people call it an inception, but really what we want to understand is our current state. So what do we have? What are our current existing systems? Do we have existing policies in place? What is our path to production? Have we had past attacks and incidences? You know, sort of our current environment. We really want to understand that really well. You can't secure what you don't understand.
Yep. And what are the key assets, particularly in terms of data?
Yeah, especially that. And then other questions that we want to answer is, like Johnny mentioned, you know, what do we want to protect? So what is really valuable to us and what would be costly to us if we were to lose it? And then also, who might want to attack this and how? Obviously, some good questions we want to be answering. So, you know, some people use attack trees and threat modeling as tools in this. So basically what you want is to be having conversations with your entire team, not just your developers, not just with your security people, but with the entire team and understanding this landscape, and building a shared understanding amongst the whole team around, you know, like we said, who's involved, what could go wrong, how might that happen? And then to really start those conversations around how do you actually start to solve those problems?
Yeah, and understanding the threat model is really important because different products, different pieces of software live in very different contexts. And it's one thing to be building a blog and another thing to be building a blog that's going to be used by activist journalists in a country with a repressive regime. They're very different scenarios.
Right, right, exactly. And I think one thing that's really important as well, so a lot of people put a big emphasis on doing a threat model up front, but actually that's the least you are going to know about your product is at the beginning. And, you know, your product is going to evolve. It's going to change. You're going to learn more and more about your users and your customers. And so it's really a good starting point, but it's definitely not, you know, this concrete thing you're going to hang up on your wall and you're going to have it forever. So I guess like when we've done threat modeling or when we've built attack trees, it's more a good starting spot. We never try to start with everything. And then we continuously evolve it as we go along and update it.
And that's one of the major lessons from any kind of evolutionary design agile process is you start with what's enough to get you going and then evolve that, whether it's architecture or your security posture.
Exactly. So I mean, it's, you know, kind of, it can kind of feel nice to build your threat model, build your attack tree before anything has started. And you're like, yeah, we're secure. You know, we have all the things we need, but really, like, that should be the smallest point and the point at which you know the least, and then you continuously build that. And that's actually the tricky thing, right, is, like, once you actually move from project kickoff into development, how do you take that knowledge and continuously act on it, continuously keep it updated, making sure, like, people are really owning it. And really what our end goal is to have, like, all these processes in every single step. So the first part's the easiest. So, right. So especially when we move into delivery, every single team is going to be different. So a lot of these is like taking these higher level best practices and adapting it to your team. But some things that we've done that we've found have worked quite well for us is as you move across the story lifecycle. So from a story is in analysis to ready for development, to ready for testing, and then finally to in production. Basically, what are the things you need to do for a security standpoint along every single step of the way? So one thing, you know, if you look at a story that's ready for development, you've done your analysis, you've, you know, it's ready to actually be picked up and started like writing code. If it's a story around building, you know, a login, you should probably have some requirements around security for that. So even before you actually start writing code, you can have some conversations like, you know, your password should be a certain number of characters. You should be encrypting it in a certain way. Maybe you don't allow certain characters. Just having these kind of conversations around what are the right acceptance criteria for the story that you're about to play. And then finally, you know, you've developed your story. It's ready for testing. So what are the things you need to do while that story is in development? So, you know, if you're a developer, you need to meet those acceptance criteria. So making sure you're actually looking at analysis and you're meeting those. But also, you know, maybe as a team, you start to have conversations around code conventions. So if you already have code conventions around quality of code or the way that you're doing testing, you can also have conventions around security. So, for example, how do you validate incoming data, for one? Or how are you masking personally identifiable information is another one.
Yeah, and this way, as a team, you've really got to work out what's the right way to put in the security requirements. So there are some that are very specific to each story and to each feature. There are other ones that are much more cross-cutting. And as Chelsea says, some of those standards and approaches are really good. You know, whether it's just looking at things like the OWASP top 10 to make sure there are things that you're avoiding, that you don't need to write that into every single story, but you should be doing across the board. Okay.
So exactly, if your team is already doing code retros, you know, this is another layer you can be pulling into your team's process. And then doing code reviews specific to security. So, you know, if you're already looking at code quality, if you're already looking, you know, doing checks on each other's code, looking at, you know, like Johnny mentioned, the OWASP top 10, really like common security vulnerabilities, or, you know, having an understanding of your threat model and then applying that to code reviews is a great thing that your team can do. And then finally, before your story is ready to be pushed to production, while you're in QA, QAs can have a huge role in security. And actually, I think this is something that we're going to start to see more and more in the future, is the role of a QA in really understanding the threat model and starting to do regression testing against it.
Because quality assurance is really around risk. And is the risk of the software going into production one that the organization is willing to bear? And security is a really important dimension of that analysis of risk.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think the QA process is a perfect time to be checking the story against, you know, your known threat model, against some of the attack trees you might have built. You know, there are some automated tooling that you can use. So if you wanted to use Zap or, you know, something a little more heavyweight, maybe that fits in. Maybe, you know, it's definitely something to analyze with your team if that's something you want to use periodically. But also, like, how does this fit into your CI? So one thing we've seen a lot of success with is using automated dependency management in a CI. So there's a tool called Dependency Check that we've used with success, where it will automatically check your libraries to see if any vulnerability has been released. And then all automated security testing. So there are some tools out there. We're still seeing what is best for us, but something to think about.
And one thing that's worth thinking about here is if you have a CI or CD pipeline, you really need to think about that as a production system, both in terms of being high availability, so the team isn't held up, but actually it is a path for code getting into production. So that can be an attack vector for your site. So really understanding how to secure and apply good security principles to your CD pipeline is really important. And that may involve not having shared admin passwords across the whole team, for example.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely attackers that will go straight for your Jenkins server. So Yeah, thinking about your pipeline is also an attack vector. So not just hardening your production system, but also, you know, pre-production systems is really important.
Yeah, and we see this often is the weakest link. You can spend a lot of time making sure your end user facing application has a lot of good security characteristics, but then actually how code gets into production can be a weak link. And there's other areas to watch out for. We've heard various stories about secrets ending up on GitHub. And in fact, there are many bots out there that are constantly scanning GitHub, looking for, in particular, AWS credentials. And before you know it, suddenly there's a whole raft of Bitcoin miners running on your AWS account. These are real stories. So there are actually some tools to help. GitRob is one we've experimented with that helps scan public GitHub repositories to look for secrets that shouldn't be there. And there's some other approaches. We've been pushing an approach called Talisman. It's just a pre-push hook for Git and GitHub to make sure that you're not pushing secrets into a public repository.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one lesson, you know, to come away with is that it's not just the features that you're pushing into production, it's also your infrastructure. Both, you know, and your internal infrastructure is definitely something to think about. So when you're doing threat modeling, not just thinking about, you know, are you vulnerable to an SQL injection through a form for a user, but might an attacker actually go against your pre-production environments? If they were to get into your internal system, what might they do there? You know.
Or the grumpy ex-employee who still has.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, security is difficult. And that's, you know, this is something we think about a lot is, you know, there's so many paths. So, again, like you'll never harden yourself against all kinds of attacks. But also, you know, if something were to happen, how do you limit the damage and how do you recover quickly? Is something to remember. All right. So some of the earlier questions we asked were, if something bad were to happen, how long would it take you to actually figure out that something has happened in production? So, you know, once you actually push a story or once you release something into production, you don't want to forget about it. So you want to have continuous monitoring once things are out there. So having some network monitoring tools, having good logging and monitoring is super important so that, you know, if somebody were to penetrate your system, one, you would be alerted, but two, you would also have information about that. So having really clear logs is really important. And then having an incident response plan. So does your team know what to do? Do they know who to talk to? Do you know approximately how much time it would take you from discovery to actually releasing a fix? That's very important. And then documenting attacks and incidences into the future. So as new people roll into your team, making sure that they're aware of what's happened in the past, that's super key so that people can learn and, you know, it just improves your team for the future.
So this is a complex area, and as I mentioned, there's a tension between trying to move fast and trying to move securely. But we're excited by where the industry's going and about how some of the practices and tools are growing. There's more room for growth. We're excited to see some movements in the security industry, such as the rugged approach or DevSecOps, which are beginning to bring more DevOps, Agile-type practices to security thinking and security tools. So we're excited and encouraged by where things are going. We think there's a lot more work to be done, both in terms of practices and in terms of tools. So we're very encouraging of and involved in trying to build out tooling that can live inside a CD pipeline to make sure that the code that's going out is as secure as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in a couple of years, we're really going to start to see a lot of maturity in this area, a lot of maturity around automated testing, automated, you know, sort of like the finer grained and automated ways to bring security into a way that's manageable for everyone. So, but, you know, we have to think about where we are now and like what small things we can start doing today. With all this in mind, a couple recommendations we have to start right now is just to start developing conventions for very common security vulnerabilities. So have your team take a look at the OWASP Top 10 and talk about, you know, are these at risk to you? Are you vulnerable right now? And how are you going to, you know, fix, or if these things were to come up in the future, what would your team do? Having an incident response plan is crucial. So if something bad were to happen, does everyone know exactly what to do and how to fix the problem? So having security in your pipeline is also incredibly important. And there are some tools you can start using right away. So Dependency Check is a tool that we've used. It took us, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes to set up. And it's valuable. So making sure that the software packages that you're using are up to date is a really easy way to build security into your pipeline today. And then also having security acceptance criteria. So if it is a story, you know, maybe it has to do with login or something like that, starting to build in security acceptance criteria around things that your team already knows is a quick win. And then what we want to grow into. So one thing that we've seen is doing threat modeling is quite difficult if your team isn't quite mature around security. So it's really hard to model what can go wrong if you don't have a lot of knowledge around this. So we say threat modeling can be considered a more mature practice and something that, you know, as your team starts to grow and be more practiced at this, it's something that you'll have better and better outcomes from. And then overall, what we really want is just a good security culture. So we want every person on the team to have a shared responsibility from analysts to QAs to developers to have a good shared understanding of, you know, what could go wrong, what do they need to do, how they fit into all of this. And so really where we want to go is having a good security culture amongst the cross-functional team.
Yeah. And for example, setting that good security culture starts with simple things like having a complex passwords and a password manager. And if you start thinking about that for your personal security, then that threads through into how you think about your application and how you do secrets management and how you would use a tool like Vault or so on to make sure that you're looking after your personal passwords and your and the secrets that your application needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you can start with small things, but really this, you'll start to see exponential effects once everyone on your team is starting to own this and have conversations. Thanks so much for listening to us on the ThoughtWorks Beacon podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at ThoughtWorks. And for more information on ThoughtWorks and our podcast, you can visit ThoughtWorks.com. And please also rate us on iTunes. Thanks.